Thank you very much. And we are now convening the audits, the audits committee for the purpose of receiving and presenting and receiving and accepting the external audit for 2011-12. So if we can call this meeting to order, thank you very, very much. And I will now turn to you, Ellen, and to introduce the topic, to introduce our presenters and receive the report.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Nichols and the members of the committee. I want to introduce Michael Stevens. He is the partner of Clifton Gunderson, our external auditors. We are here today to present the results of the fiscal year 2011 financial statement audit. And we're also here to request the committee's acceptance of these deliverables. And I'll turn it over to Mike now.
Thank you, and thank you very much. I know we're running a little bit behind today, and so we're going to need to be efficient, but obviously there's an important reporting requirement so that it's clear. And so we'll try to walk the balance between clarity, accuracy, and efficiency, and giving short shrift. We don't want to do that, but let's be as efficient as we can. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There was a presentation. I don't have it in your board materials. I'm not sure where it's.
Well, we didn't mean to be that short shrift.
Right.
I didn't know. But we do. We have the document. Does everyone out here have the document?
If you have the document, I can just walk through it. If that's
acceptable.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. What I'm going to go over is the results of the audit. As Ms. Liu said, my name is Mike Stevens. I'm a partner with Clifton Gunderson. We're completing the audit of the financial statements along with some other procedures we perform as a part of the audit process. I'll just walk through fairly quickly at a fairly high level the audit process and the results of that audit. Please feel free to stop me if you have any questions as I go through it. First slide after the introduction is the audit team. Just want to highlight here that our audit team has been consistent for the entire time we've had this contract, 4 years, so continuity with respect to the audit and the audit team. The agenda of what I'm going to go over in this presentation is the audit approach results, the single audit, and the required communications as a part of the audit to this committee. Our audit approach, we use what we call an integrated approach. There is a subcontractor requirement. Unlike some firms, our firms, the subcontractor works alongside our firm so that we ensure quality control and so on as a result of that audit process. We utilize integrated teams for the audit, financial statement auditors, IT specialists, pension specialists, and compliance specialists because of the single audit requirements. And we provide those resources as part of that audit process. The audit is what's referred to as a risk-based approach. That is now mandated by auditing standards. Our firm has always had that approach. Basically, we identify the significant risk areas with respect to the financial statements and focus our attention and testing on those areas. The other areas of less importance are still tested, but they may be tested analytically, smaller samples, things of that nature. The communication process during the audit is fairly frequent. We have weekly status meetings with management during the process to ensure that deadlines are adhered to and so on. And I can say with this meeting, I think we're hitting the deadlines that has not always occurred in the past. So we're on time with respect to the audit process. Probably most importantly, you all are concerned about is the audit results. First and foremost, with respect to the financial statements, you have an unqualified opinion on the financial statement, which is what you want. It basically says the financial statements are presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and that's consistent with the last several years. With respect to report on internal controls over over financial reporting, we do not opine on internal controls, but we are required to test as a part of the audit process. As a result of that, report. We have no material weaknesses in the current year and one significant deficiency that required reporting. And we'll go over how that stands in comparison to other years momentarily. The one item that was found, the significant deficiency related to an information systems comment related to a specific application, the Maximo application, and there were some just access controls and some changed documentation with respect to who had access to what during during, from a production standpoint versus development. So that is a correctable item, but it is a repeat item from prior years. In addition to the financial statement audit, we also perform some other procedures. The other procedures include an agreed upon procedures related to the National Transportation Database. There's information that is required to be submitted to that database. What we do is perform an agreed upon procedures with respect to that information. It is not an audit. We're performing the procedures that FTA requests us to perform on that. That work is in progress. That is not due till the end of the month, and obviously the focus is on getting the financial statements issued with respect to the bond requirements. With respect to the finding I refer to, I just want to highlight that management has reviewed that and is in agreement with that comment. With respect to continuing with audit results, there was one audit adjustment recorded in the financial statements. This was not a systemic issue. It was just an issue in preparation of the financial statements. I want to stress that the books and records of the authority were correct. In getting from the books and records to the financial statements, something didn't come over properly, resulted in an audit adjustment. So as such, we don't consider that a systemic issue, but our obligation is to report to you that we had an audit adjustment. The other types of adjustments we have as part of the audit process is what's referred to as past adjustments. These are things that we note during the audit but are not material, and we did not have anything like that this year. So. I mentioned the agreed upon procedure results, that's in process. I can tell you to date we have not found any issues. We're in the middle of our field work, actually fairly close to wrapping up, have not identified any issues. There is one other audit we do perform as a part of the audit process, the DC workers' comp report. There's certain requirements. These are old run-out claim cases. There is an audit requirement with respect to those cases. That report is due December 31, and again, that work is in progress, but we don't expect any issues with respect to that. The next most significant thing we report on is what's referred to as the single audit. With the authority receiving federal funds, we're required to conduct a single audit in addition to the financial statement audit. The single audit focuses on compliance with requirements of those federal funds, the grant awards, and so on that you receive. We issue two reports on the single audit, internal controls error financial reporting that I alluded to previously, and the report on compliance with requirements related to major programs. You had three major programs this year, the Department of Transportation Federal Transit Cluster. That's been a major program every year that we've been involved in, I would expect would be continuously. There were two new programs this year, the Rail and Transit Security Program and the High Speed Rail Program. I certainly won't get into how those programs were determined, but OMB has a calculation we're required to go through to identify major programs as, each year based on the funds received and so on, and those two programs came in as a requirement this year, or two additional programs. With respect to the single audit, we did have two findings this year. The first one related to the Davis-Bacon Act. There was, as far as your monitoring of compliance with federal contracts or contracts that are awarded under federal with federal funds, there's a requirement for those contractors to submit certified payrolls to document pay rates and so on. For three prime contractors, they failed to submit some of those payrolls. And then in one case, again in procurement, there was no documentation to verify that you confirmed that that contractor was not suspended or debarred, and that's just a federal requirement. We go back and look as part of the audit process. That contractor was not suspended or debarred, so there isn't an issue with the contract itself, but just your documentation of compliance with that requirement. And again, management has reviewed these comments and agrees with the findings. I did mention that we're just to put it in context of what we found with respect to these findings. I mentioned one finding at the financial statement level and two findings on the compliance level for this year. In relation, for last year, 2010, there were four financial statement findings and four compliance findings, and one of those findings was deemed to be a material weakness. So there is marked improvement from prior years with respect to the number of findings. Also, last year we issued a management letter, and we are not issuing a management letter this year. The comments that I presented to you are all the comments or findings that we have in the current year. And then the next several slides are referred to as required communications. This requirement comes out of some auditing standards that requires us as the auditor to report certain things to the board or committee that we're reporting to. Ultimately, our responsibility as the auditor is to you all with respect to the audit process and the reporting the results of that audit. Admittedly, in very boilerplate language, we're required to communicate how the audit went. Although our obligation is to you, we're not working with you all on a day-to-day basis in conducting the audit, so this is a methodology, like it or not, that the standards have come up with to report to you how the audit went. So the next several slides just are requirements to report to you as part of the audit process, and I'll just move through these quickly. One is that we're responsible for conducting the audit under generally accepted auditing standards, which we have. The IG's office reviews our work papers as a part of the process. Significant issues discussed with management prior to retention. We're under a multi-year contract. We did not have any issues, although there's communications, which we encourage to discuss accounting issues and so on as they come up, as opposed to waiting to year end, just to make for a more efficient process. This issue addresses things like opinion shopping and so on, so we had no issues there. Consultations with other accountants. This would be if us as the auditors and management could not come to an agreement on an accounting reporting matter. If you had to consult elsewhere, we have to disclose that to you. Again, we did not have that issue. Qualitative aspects of accounting practices. This is just, we would highlight any new disclosure requirements and things like that. There was a new accounting standard this year. You're required to adopt that standard, but actually in reality that standard did not have any impact on the financial statements. It didn't change disclosures in any way. Continuing on with respect to the preparation of the financial statements, we do highlight to the committee significant estimates and judgments that are made that are included in coming up with the numbers that are reported on the financial statements. We consider those estimates to be significant in four areas. That's deferred revenues, the pension benefit assumptions. We're relying on the trustees and the actuaries to come up with the assumptions made and the calculations for those amounts. Benefits other than pension assumptions, the OPEB liability, again, relying on the actuaries. And then the liabilities for injury and damage claims. That is a highly subjective number. We are required to accrue something from an accounting standard standpoint on the financial statements, and we work with your legal team and so on to come up with those, or your management does, to come up with those estimates, and then we review it for reasonableness. Sensitive financial statement disclosures included, they include the tax lease disclosure, the injury and damage claims that I just mentioned, along those lines, contingent liabilities, and the value of any intangible assets that are recorded in your capital assets. Difficulties encountered in performing the audit, quite frankly, you are a large, complex agency, but actually I think things go pretty smoothly as far as the magnitude of this audit and the audit process. The only issue we have of significance that does kind of push the envelope with respect to delay is getting the pension reports because of the related pension liabilities. They're handled by other auditors, and that information is feeding into your statements, and sometimes coordination of that effort is, I'll say, last minute. As I mentioned previously, there was one corrected misstatement that was in the context of preparation of financial statements. And then the representation letter, which is not included today, is in the process of being signed by management. But when you get the actual letter that just goes through everything I've gone through, what is attached to that letter is the representation letter. And what the committee will see with that is what management is representing to us as part of the audit process and for us to be able to opine on the financial statements. So that will become part of that document. Disagreements with management, there wasn't anything of significance. As I said, it's a pretty coordinated effort. This last bullet, it would be anything that we thought was of a significant issue that wasn't required to be reported in the single audit or the report on internal controls. We didn't have anything other than what we've already reported to you, the findings that I mentioned. So that's a quick summary of everything I had.
Thank you very much.
Okay, before we get to any questions, I wanted to note that this is the fourth year that Clifton Gunderson has done this financial statement audit. And there has been a significant reduction in the number of findings over the past 4 years. Briefly, in FY 2008, there were 12. There were 11 in 2009. In 2010, there were 8. And as Mike just mentioned, in 2011, there were 3.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation and your comments. They really appreciate that. Let me turn to the committee. Mr. Giancola and I did have an additional discussion and had a chance to ask a lot of questions about the documentation and about the and while we're moving quickly, I don't want to foreclose any opportunity for board members to ask questions about the data that's here. Particularly, I wanted to draw a note to the concern around the timing as it relates to pension and benefits and the reporting there as well. And I think as we discussed it, there's actually a different reporting timing requirement that causes the intersection to not marry up. But as we discussed in our earlier meeting, it is quite a significant issue for the board in terms of being able to examine and understand the impact of that. But let me turn to the board members. Any questions?
Four quick questions. The significant deficiency is identified as a carryover from last year. Staff have plans for eliminating that?
Yes, we've already put a control in place. As Mike indicated, we had an issue last year. We cured that, and then it popped up in another area. So we've actually, IT has put a corrective action plan in place already.
Thank you. You mentioned high-speed rail. That was a federal requirement to look for. We don't have any high-speed rail money, right?
Not yet.
I don't believe. There's something going on. I haven't heard about it.
Keep in mind that some of that funding, we're going by CFDA number. Versus,
yeah, right. No, I assume they said, look at these three buckets.
Right.
That bucket, I believe, would be empty for us.
And Stephanie just reminded me, but the PREA funding is under the Amtrak reform.
It's PREA, but not. So that's considered potentially high-speed rail. Got it. Okay. On the pension systems, is there a separate audit from a separate auditor on those pension systems?
Yeah.
And that auditor is selected by the trustees?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's actually five plans we're waiting on.
We talked about that earlier this morning, that five separate audits.
Right. Do we get copies of those letters?
Not normally, but you can.
I'd be interested.
The trustees, once they're completed, I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, that would be good. And the last is, if there's anything you would wish to discuss with us in executive session, let us know.
I don't believe I have any issues. I think
Mr. Chairman, just on that note, we ought to have an executive session with our outside auditors. That ought to be absolutely routine.
Thank you.
He doesn't need to say in public whether he has some issues he'd like to raise with us in executive session, but we should absolutely, without management present, we should have an executive session with our outside auditors.
So noted. Thank you. Are there any other questions of either Helen or Michael? If not, let me thank you for a very efficient but a very thorough report. I do appreciate that and your cooperation. And just one other question, as we accept the report, from a board policy and governance standpoint, the contract with our auditing firm is a 5-year contract, and this is the, just in terms of the rolling, this is the fourth year. There will be one additional year, but we will be rebidding that process as required by the policy and procedures.
That's right. It's it's 5 years, 3-year base, 2 1-year options.
Okay.
And there's a board resolution that specifically states that the external auditor cannot be the same one back-to-back.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move acceptance and approval of the 2011 external audit deliverables outlined in page 23 resolution.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman,
discussion.
Clarification.
Please.
What we're doing is moving it to the full board?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? It's been moved and seconded. Did someone second?
Second.
Okay. Second by Ms. Bowser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? This committee is adjourned. Thank you.